Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Praise the Lord as we prepare our hearts to hear from the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for this time of hearing from you. We pray that you will open our spiritual eyes and ears to see and to hear what it is that you are saying to your children. We pray, Lord God, that the Holy Ghost will take the text and through that text teach us your principles that we might practice them for profit and give you the praise. We bless your name this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you will turn your Bibles to Psalms 103, verses 13 and 14. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. Recorded are these words. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Verse 14 says, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. David pens this psalm and he begins the psalm with blessing God, with a call to praise God from the innermost parts to the outward parts. He then moves from praising God in the inward and outward parts to pondering what God has done for us, the benefits that God gives to us on a daily basis, how God looks after us, how God takes care of us, how God prepares for us, how God provides for us, how God meets our needs, how God forgives our sins, how God heals our body, how God delivers our soul from destruction, how God crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, how God fills our mouths with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And then he continues to talk about in verse 8 on how the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. My brothers and sisters, as David paints this picture of our Heavenly Father, and we get another glimpse of our Heavenly Father and how he loves us so much so that we don't truly deserve his rich and wonderful love, but because he is love, because he is our Heavenly Father, he has extended himself to us through his love and through his mercy and grace. One of the things that you'll note that the psalmist says, and David speaks not only prophetically, but he speaks personally. David knows what God can do and will do. God has been with David. David has been with God. God has told David of things to do, and David did not do those things. David knew the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, disobeyed them, had God in an uproar, and yet God chose life and God chose mercy rather than to do to him what he could have done to him. When you look at this, he says in verse 9 that he will not always chide. You know, God will not always rebuke us. He will not always handle us in the way that we deserve to be handled. He will not always fuss. He will not always deal with us according to his righteous way, because we could not handle this. It says, neither will he keep his anger forever. Listen, the psalmist here spoke earlier in the 30th number and the 5th verse, and he made it clear that in God's favor was life. In his favor is life. The reason why God favors us is because of who he is and who he made us to be to him. And therefore he said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. His anger endureth for a moment, only a moment, because that's all we could handle in this mortal flesh. And that's why he will not keep his anger forever. Amen. Somebody ought to say thank you, Jesus, right there. Thank you, Lord, right there. Listen. But then he goes on and he makes clear, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now this is for the holier than thou saint who act like they have always had it together. This is for the one who looks at others who fall, who mess up, who make a mistake, who make a bad decision, and act like they've never had that issue to happen to them in their life. This is for those who won't be real enough to say that, yes,
what you see on Sunday morning looks good, but it ain't like that all through the week. The Bible says he has not dealt with us after our sins, meaning that he has not handled us the way he should have handled us after we sinned. See, you look at a whole lot of us here today on Sunday, it's communion. Some things we didn't do this week because we knew we were taking communion today. That's how the old church used to do it. We don't even do that now. We do whatever we got to do right up to communion night, or night before communion. They at least had the good sense to try and act like they wanted to get it right before God, knowing that they had to confess their sins and get it straight. And yet he has not dealt with us after our sins or after we committed sins, nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. In other words, he hadn't really paid us back or given us the whipping, the correction, the discipline that we truly deserve. He patted us on the hand when he should have torn us apart. How many of you are sitting here in the house of the Lord today knowing that if it hadn't been for his mercy and grace, you wouldn't be sitting here today? How many of you can be real enough to say, if it hadn't been for the Lord who looked beyond your faults and met your needs, you wouldn't be here today? He has not rewarded you according to your iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his compassion, his mercy toward them that fear him. Listen. Then he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed from us our transgressions. Listen, he took your sins and he took my sins and he removed them from us. He cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. One writer says he tied them in a bag and threw them behind his back. Another writer said, he took our sins and he remembered them no more. Why? Because he wanted to remove all semblance, all remembrance of our sins from us as we enter in his presence. See, what we've got to understand is, if God allows our sin to remain on us, we can't come in his presence. Amen. In order to come in his presence, he's got to remove the sin issues we've got. And that's where the blood of Jesus comes in. That Jesus did for us at Calvary gives us the right by the blood of Jesus to enter into the holies of holies, to enter into the presence of God, not because we've been so holy, not because we've been so righteous, not because we've done everything we ought to do, but because of the blood that covers us. Yes, sir. Causes God not to see us like we are. He looks at the blood and does not look under it. That's why in the Old Testament, when they were told to put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels, the death angel, when he would see the blood, he'd pass over. And listen, it didn't matter who was behind the door. Could have been a murderer. Could have been an alcoholic. Could have been a liar, a thief, a whoremonger. It could have been anybody who is the most notable of ill repute behind the door if they were behind the blood. The death angel passed on over. And so God wants to make sure that all of those things are away from us, that we might enter into his presence. Listen, my brothers and sisters, it's so important to understand that when we move into verse 13, it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now look at this picture, because this picture is of a loving father who has, this word pity has many definitions, but the one that is used to really bring out the meaning is compassion here. Listen, like as a father hath compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on them that fear him. Now this word makes clear, as a father has compassion on his children, he treats his children in a more compassionate way than he does other children. One of the reasons is because they're his children. That's right, Brother Johnson. And something is wrong when a father can't treat his children better than he treat other children. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's biblical. Something is wrong when you treat other children better than you treat your own children. Something is wrong with that picture. Listen, the Bible even makes clear that a man that does not take care of his own house is worse than an infidel. Look, you can't be taking care of everybody else and leave your house undone. Let your house run ashore, let it run amiss, awry. You can't allow your house to fall apart while you out there being the great Christian saving everybody else's house. One of the great things about the story of Noah is he preached 120 years. It's gonna rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. 120 years. People would pass by, no, I know it's going to rain. Ain't no rain, I know. Save me. And after the ark was completed, and Noah obeyed God, brought two of every kind into the ark. Listen, he called his children. He said, y'all come on in the ark. His wife was standing in the door. He said, now baby, you keep count as they come in. Let me know who came in and I'm gonna check before we close this door. Make sure all them children in here. By the time he gets to the end of his count, all his children are there. His wife gives him a count. Noah closes the door. Only 8 people are saved from the old world. Not because he didn't preach to everybody, but his responsibility was to make sure, even as he preached to his own, he had the responsibility of reaching, let me put it another way, of snatching his own. Let me put it like Joshua said, as for me and, are y'all with me here today? My house, we will serve the Lord. We ain't got no other choice in my house but the way of the Lord. It's God's way or no way. We ain't got no options. You gonna do this when you wanna. I don't understand parents who let their children go to church when they feel like going to church. They can go party in these dangerous streets. Don't know what is out there waiting for them. Stay out all night long. And the parents won't wake them up to come to the house of the Lord who has kept them all week long, all night long, to come to the house. Something's wrong with that. All parents, you say, you can go out and stay all night long, but you're getting up and going to church. And they won't even let you go to sleep. You look like you're about to go to sleep in church. None of that. But when you love your children, listen, you got to love them enough to not let them have their own way. How you going to let your daughter, whom you have raised in a godly house, leave out the house dressed like a working woman? Not a woman going to work. Y'all will catch that on your way home. If men are talking to you in a lewd and lascivious way, what you might want to do first is check yourself. If a man's eyes are bucking out his head, looking at you and hoping you drop something, because it ain't much fabric to cover up much. Y'all gonna sit here and act holier than thou. You know what I'm talking about. And then you gonna get an attitude. What you looking at? I'm looking at you and all the rest of the clothes you forgot to put on. Don't get mad if men treat you like a hoochie if you're looking like a hoochie. If you ain't selling nothing, take the advertisement down. I know you don't want to hear that. But see, in the old days, fathers wouldn't let their sons and daughters leave out the house looking any kind of way. You had to pass inspection. Wait, baby, you bear my name. No, son, no. You bear my name. Don't you make me shame. Any witnesses in the house? The Bible makes clear God chastens, God corrects, God disciplines those whom he loves. You don't love your children when you let them go out any kind of way, looking any kind of way, acting any kind of way, making choices they don't have a choice to make. Then you won't pray, Lord, please take care of my child. You take care of your child. Father pitieth his children, have compassion on his children. Well, what does that mean? It means when that child, and thank God that a father and a mother knows their children. Man can have 2 children, he can have 10 children, he can have 20 children. All of them are different. Listen at this. And when he knows, a good father knows his children, one of the things he does not do is compare them to the other. Because if he knows his child or he knows his children, he also knows their limitations. He knows their abilities. He knows what they are capable and incapable of doing. And so he utilizes his ability to bring the best out of them to their level. One child might have gotten certain genes from the mother's side. And and you were blessed to marry the mother. And they were good reasoning people, good sense, intelligent, all of that. That passed on to a few of the children. Some of the other children got more of your genes. And you're not the sharpest tool in the shed. But you know how to do what you can do. And you come to the point where you understand that you can't make a child do what they're incapable of doing. But what you do is help them do the best that they can do and not push them beyond that point. One child is an A student, another child is a C student and a prayer. And yet they both are doing their best. You got to know the limits of your children and know that you can do more harm pushing them beyond what they're capable of accomplishing. And so a father has compassion and tell them, be what you can be. Do what you can do. Other children may be healthy and strong. One may be weak. Father shows that love to that weaker child. Builds them up. Make them important. Help them to find their place. Help them to find themselves. Help them to discover what they're good at. Everyone does not have the same gifts, the same talents, the same abilities, but God has blessed everybody to be and do something. And a good father points that out and has compassion upon that child. So does God have compassion upon us who fear him. We love the Lord, we fear the Lord, we reverence the Lord, we respect the Lord, we honor the Lord, and the Lord has compassion upon us like a father has upon his children. But listen at verse 14 and I'm closing. Verse 14 says, for he knoweth our frame. A good father knoweth his child's frame. In other words, he knows his or her makeup. He knows their ability to stand or withstand certain things. He knows how some are strong, how some are sensitive, how some are weak, how some are quick, sharp, some fly off at the handle, can't hold themselves, can't keep their tongue, how others are disciplined and know how to listen and to wait. He knows their frame. He knows what they're capable of handling and therefore does not put more on that frame. One day, a couple had bought a little house and they loved that little house and the Lord had blessed them over the years and they decided they wanted to renovate and they wanted to make the house larger. So they called the contractor in to come and to take their plans down and see what could be done. And so they told the contractor that I know you're able to do it all. You can draw the plans. You can do this. You can do all of that. Let me tell you what we want. We want to turn this single story family dwelling into a two, possibly a three story house. We don't want to move because the land was given to us and the house we purchased and put on this land because we love this place and we want to make it grand now that we've been blessed. And the man asked them, he said, well, do you have the plans, the original plans to this house? And he said, yes. They gave them to him. And after studying the plans, he came back and he told him, he said, I'm sorry. He said,